Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Kylie Camps, owner of The Kind Parenting Company, wife, proud mum of twin boys, and happiness advocate. This podcast is a place for women who want more from life. It's your time to cultivate more self-care, compassion, happiness, love, and confidence. Let's have real conversations to help you feel better, choose better, and live your best life. Welcome to episode number 33. This evening, I've decided to sit down on a bit of a whim and record this episode purely because I feel as though it may be helpful for some of you out there who are listening. And I just felt an impulse to sit down and record it. So I will apologize for my voice. Last week, I completely lost it altogether. Couldn't speak, or I could just speak, but it wasn't good. And I had to cancel recording a couple of podcasts, and I wasn't planning on doing this one, but I just thought, why not? So if you can get past my super nasal and congested voice, I hope you enjoy this episode. This episode is really all about journaling, and I guess why I journal, and offering you some suggestions on how you could potentially start journaling as well, if it's something that interests you. Now, I've definitely heard of journaling over the years, and I've dabbled in and out of it, a bit like meditation. It's kind of one of those things that I know is good for me, but I haven't always made it a priority, and I've never really been super, super consistent with it. But the last couple of months, obviously, I've been going through some personal challenges, which I've shared on a podcast episode, so you can jump back and listen to those. You'll find them under Life Update. And during all of the ups and the downs and the twists and the turns and just, I guess, the trials and tribulations of moving through everything that's going on, which is a separation, I have found myself having so many different emotions and so many different thoughts. Different anxieties have come to the surface. I've never in my life been in this situation, so it's all kind of foreign territory. And although I feel as though I'm doing well and I have really good perspective and I'm actually quite happy, I do, I guess, have those emotions that come to the surface that I've not really experienced before, and the thoughts and the worries and the concerns that I've not had before. Not just about me, but about my kids as well. So there's just been lots of things swirling around my brain, and trying to make sense of it isn't always easy. And something that I have learned is you don't always have to try and make sense of everything that you're thinking or feeling. Sometimes the best thing to do is just feel what you're feeling without overanalyzing it or giving it too much brain power. You know, there are certainly times in life when you do want to dig deeper and work out why you're thinking or why you're feeling a certain way. But I've really surrendered to the fact that at times you just have to go with how you're feeling and, yeah, just surrender to it. And so for me, journaling has been really, really helpful the last 6 months or so. It's been something that I wouldn't say I do every single day, but definitely 3 to 5 times a week, I find myself journaling, and it's been so helpful in allowing me to capture those thoughts. And you know, you don't have to be going through something hard to benefit from journaling, just everyday life. You know, if you're finding that you're getting into bed at night and you're struggling to switch off, just journaling before you go to sleep can be really, really helpful, because it allows you to take an action to capture all of those thoughts. Write them down so that you know that you can deal with them at a later date, or just to get them out of your head. So journaling is the topic. of this episode, and I wanted to share with you a couple of questions that I found myself asking myself as kind of writing prompts. And I feel like I said that strangely, prompts. my voice, it's not ideal, but here we are. And I found myself really leaning into having those prompts because sometimes you sit down to journal and you just think, oh, I don't even know what to say. Like, I've got so much shit going around my head, I don't even know what to say or where to start. So having that prompt, that question, allows you to just start flowing with your writing. And then once you start, you really can take it anywhere. But before I talk about those questions that I find helpful, and I guess I want to offer them to you and just loan them to you and see if they're helpful for you as well, it's worth mentioning that journaling is proven to strengthen your emotional function. It can also boost your mood. It can sharpen your memory. It can even improve your immune function, which I think is really, really interesting, as well as reducing stress and just helping you manage anxiety. So it's definitely something that is worth trying. It's pretty low risk. Most of us have access to a pen or a pencil and some paper. You don't need a fancy journal. Sure, if you love a fancy journal, duck into your local stationery supply store, whether that's Kiki K or Typo or whatever it is. Grab yourself one or go to Kmart and spend $5. But you really just need paper and pen and I guess a willingness to be vulnerable and honest with yourself. And it's not even about a certain amount of time. I think it's just about being willing to ask yourself questions and to be curious and become more self-aware, which is such a gift to give to yourself and also in turn to give to those around you. So you might find it easy to just sit down with a pen and paper and start writing. And I do recommend using a pen and paper rather than your phone or your computer or an iPad. I think that there's just something, I don't know, more soulful about a pen and paper. And I think it also just allows you to really tune out of distractions. I would recommend putting your device on flight mode or flipping your phone over, turning it on silent so you're not tempted to be distracted. I would suggest maybe if any of these questions that I'm about to share with you, if they resonate with you, to just jot them down now somewhere so that you have them handy as well to save you listening to the whole nasal podcast again. But anyway, so you might find it easy to just sit down and start writing and you might like to write, you know, dear diary or dear journal and just share things that happened throughout your day. But if you find that a little bit confronting or you're just not sure where to start, then maybe you would like to borrow some of these questions. And I'm going to lead with a question that when I heard, it literally stopped me in my tracks. Like I pressed pause on the podcast I was listening to. I wrote the question down and I sat down. I was cleaning and I sat on the day bed and I sort of said to myself, fuck, sorry about the swearing, but it was just a moment of going, oh, wow, that is a big question that I really, really need to explore. And so I listened to a Tim Ferriss podcast, and I think it was one where he was doing a Q&A, and I'm just a big fan of him. I think he's wildly fascinating and talented. So if you don't listen to his podcast, hit subscribe on his and have a listen. A lot of his episodes are really, really long, but I find them, most of them, really, really enjoyable. And anyway, he shared this question. He said that it's important to ask yourself, how am I complicit in creating the circumstances I say I don't want? So I'll say that again. How am I complicit in creating the circumstances I say I don't want? When I heard that, I was just taken aback, like I said. I even swore, and I just thought to myself, wow. How often do we go through life saying, I don't want this, I don't want that, or thinking that you don't want something, but actually you are contributing to creating that exact circumstance and taking ownership for it. So whether or not it is complaining about, some toxicity you have between another person, but realizing that you actually are carrying that toxicity around, or you're putting fuel on the fire, owning the part of you that is creating to that circumstance that you say you don't want. Same again for your health and wellness. You know, if you're walking around saying that you're sick of feeling crappy, you're sick of feeling sluggish, bloated, whatever it is, but you're continually putting food in your mouth that you know doesn't serve you, or you're continually being unreliable with your workouts, or just not committing to things that you know are going to help, then asking yourself and calling yourself out, how am I being complicit in creating this circumstance that I say I don't want? And really, there's only two answers. You can say to yourself, wow, maybe I don't really want that, or maybe I do want it, you know, or maybe what I'm saying is I don't want it, but I actually, it's not that important to me. And if that's the case, then that's okay. But at least stop complaining about it. Stop walking around saying you don't want it if in fact it's not that big a deal to you. Or you go, wow, I am contributing to that circumstance in this way, X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3, whatever it is. And how can I change my contribution to that circumstance? And that's something that I personally have found really useful, and I've done myself recently. So I literally wrote that question down in my journal, and a few different areas of life came up for me that I wrote responses to. So I won't go into them because they're personal, but you know, there was 3 or 4 different areas of life that I could easily and quickly identify that I say I don't want that, but I'm actually acting in another way and I'm contributing to the exact thing I'm saying I don't want. So then once I identified those areas underneath each of those subheadings, I wrote the ways in which I'm creating that circumstance, which is confronting at times, but there's so much power in owning your stuff. Like owning it up and saying, yep, this is what I'm doing, and calling yourself out on it. And so once I wrote those things, then I wrote, I guess, the anecdote to that. What could I do instead? So for example's sake, just say I've said I don't want, you know, tension with this person in my life. You know, I'm saying I don't want that, but in actual fact, here are 3 or 4 things that I'm doing that are creating that. So what is the opposite of that? And writing it down and just working out ways that I can honor that part of myself and bring my best self to that area of my life. So I think that that is a really great question to start with. And it's one that it might take you ages to answer. You might really, really need to dig deep and think about that question and think about your response to that as well. There are just so many different ways it can apply. And I'm sure, you know, different people listening, everyone will have a different reaction to that question. But for me, it stopped me in my tracks. Another one to ask yourself, which is a little lighter, perhaps, is what does my ideal day look like? You know, if I could describe a perfect day for me, what would that look like? And then once you have a clear view on what that is, once you've written down a couple of things, how can you bring some of those elements into your everyday life? So say, for example, your perfect day might be waking up in Bali, going for a massage, going for a long walk, putting your feet in the ocean, you know, whatever it is you want to do in Bali, just for example's sake. And then looking at those things on the list of your ideal day and going, okay, how can I bring a little bit of that magic into my everyday life? So, you know, does it look like meditating for 10 minutes when I wake up? Does it look like ending my day with my feet on the sand? You know, how can I bring a little bit of that perfect day to my everyday? And that question, what does my ideal day look like? There's no right answer to that. You know, it can be as big as you can imagine, or it can be as simple as having a cup of coffee on your own before the kids wake up and ending the day watching a TV show that you love with your partner next to you. So just getting clear on what a really great day is for you and how can you bring some of those elements into your life right now. The next thing that you could ask yourself is, what are three things that I could do right now today that would improve the quality of my day? I'm really big on improving the quality of your day because really, our whole lives are just the sum of our days. So if you can improve your day today and then improve tomorrow and the next day and so on and so forth, you're improving the whole quality of your week, your month, your year, your life. So what are three things you can do that could improve the quality of your life today? Is it having better friendships? Is it putting more effort into your friendships? Is it drinking more water? Is it being more present with your children? Is it taking an action towards that business that you want to start? Just, you know, it could be anything. Another one to ask yourself is, what do I do well and what qualities do I possess that I'm proud of? It's very common. It's very easy because our brains, in fact, have a negative bias, which means our brains are hardwired to lean towards negative presumptions more so than positive presumptions. So, or assumptions, whatever you want to say there. Excuse my voice, it's going. Our brains do have a predisposition to absorb negative information with more ease than positive information. So it's very common that we find ourselves berating ourselves or focusing on the things that we don't do well. You know, particularly as a mum, you can do 500 million things well, but then you do one thing that you're not proud of or one thing poorly, and you will, you know, just want to hang yourself out to dry over that one thing. You'll focus on it, you'll go to bed thinking about it and make it into such a big deal, where I guess we're just not taught as much to focus on our strengths. You know, I think that our generation weren't taught that. I think that our children will have a better connection to their strengths. But yeah, just sitting down and writing out, what do you do well? What qualities do you possess that you're proud of? And don't be shy. Don't be worried about, you know, thinking too highly of yourself because you really can't. It's important to think highly of yourself. So jotting down an answer to that is an important one. Another question that I want you to ask yourself and put pen to paper to is, what does success mean to me for this current season of my life? Now, I've shared this question before, but I felt it was very relative to add in now. And the reason I feel such a strong connection to this question is so many women have reported a sense of feeling unfulfilled. You know, whether that's the fact that they don't have kids and they are longing for that fulfillment that they hope having a family will bring, or whether they do have a family and they're feeling unfulfilled because they're not, it really comes down to the fact that they've not redefined what success is for that current stage of their life. We all have a belief surrounding what success looks like. We all have an attachment to what success is, whether that is something that we are conscious of or it's something that is deep down in our subconscious and a belief from our childhood. We all do have a story around success. So I guess what I'm getting at is, if your story of success is climbing the corporate ladder, or if your belief surrounding success is hitting X amount of targets or KPIs or earning a certain wage, but then you find yourself as a stay-at-home mum, you may run the risk of feeling unfulfilled, even though you're doing very incredible hard work right now, raising a baby or a child. If you don't move the goalposts, if you don't take the time to go, okay, what does success look like for me in this current season of my life? You might end the day feeling poorly about yourself because you haven't hit those KPIs, you haven't earned that wage, you haven't secured that promotion, climbed the corporate ladder, or whatever it is. You know, so many people have different versions of what success is. It may have absolutely nothing to do with work, and it may be that you grew up in a household where contribution to the community was valued as really, really successful, and then you find yourself living your life and not contributing as much to your community for whatever reason, and you might be beating yourself up over that. But taking a moment to go, okay, what is my story about success? And what does success look like for me right now in the current parameters, the current season, the current stage, this very moment of my life? And I guess to give a personal example to you is I started a business when the boys were really young, and the business has done very well. I'm very proud of the business, but it could have done better. You know, it could have earned more money. It could have been bigger. It could have reached more families. But for me, my version of success was being as present and as available and with my boys as much as possible. So even though by someone else's standard, the business hasn't hit its full potential based off someone else's measuring stick, I guess, I have never felt unsuccessful in that domain, because that's not how I measured success during that stage of my life. So I don't look back on it and go, oh man, I wish I'd done X, Y, or Z, or grown it to this level or grown it to that level, because I was really clear. Success for me was being a full-time mom. So, you know, and that's not to say that that's what everyone should do. That's just how it was for me. So just taking a moment to get really, really clear. What do you believe success is? And what is realistic for you right now? And maybe it is just keeping the kids alive today. Maybe it just is having a shower on your own, or mastering a tandem feed, or getting out and about with a toddler and a newborn, or getting to rhyme time on time at the library with your toddler. You know, these things, they may seem silly to put under the definition of success to some people who are on the other side of it or have never been on the same side, but you have to give yourself the best shot at feeling full. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think it's just important to take a moment to think about that. Now, if you feel like any of these questions are just a bit too big to start off with, particularly if you're new to, I guess, getting more in touch with yourself, then maybe you want to start just with some gratitude exercises. And, you know, you can go basic, really, really basic. What are 5 things that you're grateful for today? You know, it can be the roof over your head, having food in the fridge, a warm smile from a stranger, whatever it is, getting a good park at the shops. There are so many different things you can be grateful for, and starting small is sometimes the best. Another great gratitude practice is to go a little further and write down the things that you want to be grateful for in a year's time, or 5 years' time, or 10 years' time. I love this for 2 reasons. One is that it's pretty much a very powerful act of manifesting what you want to bring into your life, getting clear on the things that you want. And it also will allow you in a year to look back and go, wow, I was really hopeful that I would be grateful to have XYZ in my life. And look, I have that. I don't know if you guys heard that crash just then. I would say that one of my little boys has rolled over in his bed and knocked a toy off his bed. But anyway, we'll keep moving. Real life. So gratitude journaling is a really, really great place to start. So is just bullet point journaling. So you might find it overwhelming to sit down and answer some questions, or to just start writing freely. You might feel that it's just too big a jump from not journaling at all. So start with some bullet point journaling, and that can be simple things like, you know, a feeling that you had today, or something that you want to do tomorrow, or a nice experience you had, or an uncomfortable one. And again, not analyzing it, but just writing it down, just putting pen to paper is a really nice place to start. It can also be a nice place to start by sharing a quote that you heard. You know, for me, quotes really hit me. And if you just go over to my Instagram, which is at Kylie Camps, I've shared some of my favorite quotes. And sometimes they're the best prompts for me. You know, even just writing something like, one of my favorite quotes is, success is the sum of small efforts repeated day in and day out. I'll write that down, and then I'll write down a couple of small efforts or small habits that I did that day that add up to me feeling successful. So quotes are a great place as well. And if you can't find any quotes that you connect with easily, or you just don't have any stored away in the back of your mind, jump over to Pinterest. It's pretty much a quote wormhole. I don't have Pinterest for that reason. I feel like it's too much of a slippery slope, but one of my best friends is forever sending me quotes from Pinterest. She has a whole board on them, so that can be a good place to find inspo as well. Also, like I said, just writing down experiences, because if you're anything like me, you might find yourself replaying experiences over and over in your head, and it's just good at times to get them out of your head and capture it on paper, and it can just feel so cathartic to do that. You may also like to write down your dreams, your hopes, your goals, and again, on the flip side, writing down your fears is just as powerful. And Tim Ferriss, again, he talks about something called fear setting in one of his TED Talks. And it's basically about, you know, he does a much better job at explaining it. It's his philosophy, but identifying what you're afraid of and then playing it out. So if you're afraid of going on an overseas holiday, writing down all of the things that you're afraid of that could happen and what potentially would come from that. So basically, you just get to a point where you realize that there's nothing that is completely horrific and unmanageable once you break it down. And I remember when I was much younger, in my teens, I heard Oprah say that it's really important to play the what if game. And what she explained it, how she explained it, excuse me, is when you're getting anxious about something. So say you find yourself saying, what if X happens, or what if Y happens? Keep playing it out, and you go, okay, so what if that happens? Well, then what would the next step be? I'll try and think of a better example. Sorry, I was losing my voice. So it could be something like, so what if, and I think when I heard this, I was actually still in high school. So what if I get to school and no one will sit with me? Okay, well, then I'll sit on my own. And what if I'm sitting on my own? Well, I might feel lonely. Okay, so what if I feel lonely? Well, that's a bit uncomfortable. Okay, and what if you're a bit uncomfortable? Well, I guess I'll survive. Okay, so what if you survive that uncomfortable feeling? Well, eventually the bell will ring and I'll go to class. Exactly. It kind of just takes out the fear. So playing it out completely, the what if game, really, really important. And this applies to mums and dads as well. If you're feeling guilty about putting your little one into daycare or leaving them with a carer, and you might feel yourself saying, you know, what if little Johnny wakes up from his nap and he's missing me? So what if that happens? Well, a carer will care for little Johnny. You know, he'll get a cuddle. Okay, so what if the carer gives him a cuddle? Well, he'll likely be soothed by that. You know, like just playing it all the way out. And it might sound silly to some, but for those who have experienced anxiety, hopefully that is helpful. And it could even be helpful in explaining, you know, that process to kids as well. Like I do that with my boys too. You know, recently when we had an experience at a treetop challenge when they were both feeling a little bit fearful and they were saying, what if we can't do it? And I said, well, if you can't do it, that's okay. You know, if you can't do it, well, we'll take the harness off you. And what if we have to take the harness off you? That's okay. You can come down. And, you know, if you want to put it back on later, it's just removing the fear. So anyway, in conclusion, I really, really recommend journaling, particularly if you're finding yourself doing things to avoid uncomfortable feelings. So whether that may be late night binging or in just engaging in an activity that actually isn't honoring who you really are at your core, but you're just doing it to avoid an uncomfortable feeling within, and we've all been there, then actually getting your pen and paper out and facing those feelings is life-changing. So I will love and leave you on that note. I hope my voice has not been too painful to listen to. I will try not to make a habit of recording podcasts when I'm ultra congested. But yeah, I just felt called to share that with you because in particular, that first question I shared really, really shifted things for me. And my whole mission with anything I do in life, you know, whether it's the Kind Parenting Company or this podcast or my social media channels, is to make a difference. And so I really hope that this episode has made a difference for at least one person out there. I would be eternally grateful if you would take a screenshot of this episode and pop it up on your Instagram stories and tag me. There are two reasons that I would really appreciate that. One is I get a massive kick out of seeing people listen to the podcast because I'm such a podcast junkie myself, particularly if you write or share in your story where you are, what you're up to. I mean, don't put your address there, but you know, if you're out for a walk, let me know that I'm joining you on the walk. Or if you're driving to work, let me know that I'm accompanying you. And the second is, of course, it allows me to reach your audience as well. So the more people that I can get in front of with things like this podcast, then the better, because I just want to be able to make a difference. So on that note, I hope you have an amazing day and I look forward to seeing you on Instagram. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.